Hey, good evening, Teach Better family. This is Brad Hughes coming to you live on a Sunday evening with the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up. We're streaming exclusively in our Teach Better Facebook group. That's at teachbettergroup.com. We have an incredible educator from the West Coast. The educator with the most on the West Coast, it's Denise Giroux, tuning in from her home studio and classroom tonight to let us know about how she is looking ahead to her important week in education. And we're here to inspire you to join us live in the comments, wherever you might be. Hit us up with your name, your location, what's coming to mind for you. Denise and I are going to be digging some great conversation, some wonderful strategies, and of course, our Hey everyone, we are live. We are with a Sunday Weekly Warm-Up streaming exclusively in the Teach Better Facebook group, private Facebook group, very, very exclusive Facebook group, about 7,700 members strong. And we're looking forward to having you join us live here in the comments and get to know our guest tonight, Denise Giroux. Ray Heward is off tonight. Ray's feeling under the weather. Ray, I hope that you are cuddled up under a very cozy blanket. Maybe you've got your best furry friends with you, and you are feeling better soon. And we'll miss you. Look forward to reconnecting on the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up again soon. But allow me to introduce my guest to the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up crowd. It's Denise Giroux. Good evening, Denise.
Oh, good evening. Thank you, Brad, so much for welcoming me.
It's wonderful to have you. And as we were talking just before we got on air, I noticed that you're surrounded with all the educational goodness this evening. Tell us a little bit about where you are, what you do, and what your important role in education might be, Denise.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for having me. So I am a transitional kindergarten virtual teacher. So you can see this is my virtual classroom. This is where I teach every day. My wonderful 25 transitional kindergarten students that I meet with every single day. I've been teaching for 19 years, and 7 of them were in the brick and mortar. I did kind of kindergarten through third grade. And then about 12 years ago, I found California Virtual Academies, and I'm so excited with this school and the program. And 8 years ago, we implemented transitional kindergarten into our school, and I helped pilot and start it all. And I've been here ever since. So I'm excited to be here and share with you guys.
Really excited to learn more about your role, what has led you to and has kept you in a virtual teaching environment. Tell me more about your home in California. Where are you in California? And what is remarkable about the place that you live and teach?
Okay. Well, that's what's so nice about being a virtual teacher is you can like live anywhere, pick anywhere in California to live. My husband and I, we just moved to Paso Robles, California, which is near San Luis Obispo on the Central Coast. I'm about an hour north of Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. So we have fantastic weather, you know, year round pretty much. I can have class inside, you know, my house, or I can take my laptop and go outside with them. I can go to the beach and we can do class at the beach. So I love the versatility of being a virtual teacher. I know during the pandemic, that was new for everybody. And so then everyone started knowing about asynchronous learning versus synchronous learning. And so it's not so foreign, but when I used to tell people, oh, I'm a virtual teacher, they're like, what is that? And what do you, you know, how do you do that? And now I think everybody has a little bit better understanding of virtual teaching. But when you're kind of thrown into it, like most teachers were during the pandemic, I'm sure it was very hard. But we've been doing, you know, California Virtual Academies have been around for 20 years or so. So we've been doing this for a long time. And I think we're just growing. We're the largest charter school in California.
I'd love to know more about the kids that you teach and the families that you serve. How many, how old are in your class, and talk with me about what characterizes a transitional kindergarten class.
Okay, so transitional kindergarten is kind of, it is, in California, you have to turn, it started out, it's changing, so it's kind of a little long story, but if you turn five, like September 1st through December, there was just kind of this very small group of kids that we took it as transitional kindergarten. So if you turned five between September and December, then we rolled back. We've been rolling back the dates slowly in California. So now next year, if you turn five September 1st through June, then you'll be enrolled in transitional kindergarten. So instead of going to maybe pre-K or preschool and having to pay, California, you actually now can, anybody in California can send their kids to transitional kindergarten. I think other states, I don't know if they have universal transitional kindergarten or if they have pre-K programs that are paid for by the state, but so now California, we finally do have this program. So that's the ages. So most of my kids are four when they come to school and they turn five within the year. I actually service kids in LA, San Diego, the Bay Area. They can come from anywhere. Because of virtual, I can work with any of those kids, but the upper grades. So I also did teach like kindergarten, first, second, all the different grades. And there's more kids obviously that are in kindergarten or first grade. So since I live in Paso Robles, I would get more kids that are close to me in the area. So I can kind of more meet with the families in person. But since transitional kindergarten is a little bit newer program, not as many families know that they can enroll their kids even in school. You know, traditionally it was just, oh, you go to school when they turn of age, five in kindergarten. So now we're just kind of trying to get the word out that, you know, kids, school is starting when they're four now. did I cover some of those things? I forgot all your questions.
Oh, no, you sure did. And I'm curious about what brings kids and families to a virtual learning space as opposed to a brick and mortar. I can think of many reasons, necessity or preference. Like, what do you think characterizes a family or a child that's coming to a virtual kindergarten space, maybe as opposed to a brick and mortar location?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, well, first, transitional kindergarten, not every elementary school in California offered the program. So in a school district, maybe like two or three schools would actually have a TK program. And so it just wasn't accessible to everyone. And whereas our school was accessible to anyone, if you wanted your kids to be enrolled in school, then you could be enrolled in our school. Okay. Now every site is supposed to have a transitional kindergarten program. But families choose our school for a lot of different reasons. The biggest ones are safety. They don't feel like their local schools maybe are the safest environments. Bullying might happen, or just academically, they're not as strong, like their test scores, it's not an academically strong school. You know, not all schools are created equal. And so the parents want more voice in their child's education. So it's a choice for them. They're choosing because we do partner with the parents, you know, and the parents are very involved in their kids' education. So they're homeschooling families that want a little more guidance, though, from a teacher. So because I meet with the kids every single day. I teach online for about an hour and a half. We actually teach in small groups. So I'll teach a half hour circle time in the morning. We have a little break. Then I teach a small group half hour ELA time, phonics time, break, then another half hour. My day, I just saw this question from Brianna.
Yeah, from Bri.
Okay, so my day starts at 8:45 is when we start school. And the kids are done by 1 o'clock. But they don't go continually, you know, continuous, especially being four. So they do have breaks. And that's why I teach in small groups. So I have a whole group circle time of 25 kids in the morning. We work on social emotional learning. We work on calendar, singing, you know, just all that you would do in brick and mortar. They're all just here in like a Zoom kind of room. We call it Neuro. It's a different platform, but it's very similar to maybe Zoom that people would think. Except there's a lot of tools that the kids can use, online tools. If they're on tablets, the school actually provides. So that's the other thing with our school is we provide all the curriculum for the parents. We provide a computer, a printer, and me. So the parents have this resource of they don't have to guess what to do every day. They have an online program from our online school of what to do. They have a daily plan and a weekly plan, so they get to see. So they do have some online school learning, and then they have learning with me one-on-one, not one-on-one, but small group. Sometimes one-on-one if I'm doing a little reteaching session, but I see the families every day, but basically the kids, the latest class is till one.
So when you sign into your classroom each morning, you are greeting your kids and perhaps their parents or caregivers as they pop onto your screen. And that's when you begin the circle time.
Basically, yes. So we sing our good morning songs and I can play YouTube videos just like you would if it was a smart board in the classroom. You can play your songs. We get up and I dance with them and we just, you know, we have a good time. We share, we work on our language skills, you know, our taking turns. It's very much like a brick and mortar classroom, except it's just a virtual online. They get into their partner groups. They can do think, pair, share really quickly and break. We have breakout rooms real quick. They can go to then come back. So they have that socialization too. It's a community. So they know their friends. They say good morning to me and all their friends. It's really fun. It's at first it was, you know, you're thinking, how is this going to work? But it really has, I've been doing it for 8 years now with them. Yeah. So I've got it kind of dialed in. I send home packets for them, like just so they know, okay, bring your phonics book to class, bring this. We're going to work on fine motor skills or we're going to do some cutting. We're going to make a puppet. We're going to do it, just all these fun things with them. But they love it. They love being with their friends. They call each other friends, you know, hi friends, or, you know, they'll call each other obviously by name, but they make those connections that you would in just in like a classroom setting. They have pen pals, they exchange numbers, they meet in play groups, but it is for families, homeschooling families that are looking for like a homeschooling option, but with help and guidance. So we kind of are just like a hybrid of homeschooling, kind of, if that makes sense.
It sounds like you're performing an important facilitation role for families that, for a number of reasons, want their kids to have the opportunity to learn online, but to have it facilitated, have it moderated and led and inspired by a certified teacher. And you're also charged with building community in a space where kids and families are, I guess, joining you or tuning in from anywhere. So I'd love to dive a little bit more. Yeah.
So that's the key from anywhere. So that flexibility is what is so cool. So for example, last week was our spring break, but the week before I had a student that their family was on spring break. Because some of their kids were going to an actual in-person school, but my student was virtual. So they were like, what do I do? And I said, just take your laptop with you. And so my student went to the Grand Canyon and he would get online with us and we would say, oh, you know, Mikey, where are you? And he's like, look, I'm in Arizona. And we were actually talking about like cactus and all these different plants and the, you know, life cycle of plant. He's showing us, you know, out his window, like where he's at, but that's the flexibility of it. Sometimes families do want to go on vacations, like maybe off season. And so they can do that. They can go on vacations, still check in, still get their work done, but have that flexibility. One of my students came back last week and she was still up in Lake Tahoe And we were talking about the seasons changing, and she was like, oh, look, it's snowing, you guys, come outside. And some of my kids haven't ever seen the snow or been to the snow, you know? And so it was nice for them to, like, you know, just have that kind of connection, like, oh my goodness, yeah, you're doing this. And that's what's nice about, we get to actually, you know, see inside their houses. They like to take us on tours, like, oh, look at this, this is my bedroom, you guys. And this is my collection. And so they'll share with you. And so you actually, we really get to know each other, I think almost even better than in-person learning in some ways, because we're so close and, you know, we're going on vacation with them and we're seeing their grandparents and we're meeting family members all the time. We're meeting their pets. So it's, I don't know. I love this program. I think it's a fantastic option for families that maybe don't have the best school for their child or they want a different option.
You know, facilitating and providing this option for families has kept you inspired and motivated for 8 years in the role. I'm thinking if you reflect on those 8 years, Denise, what are you continuing to learn about yourself as an educator and what continues to keep you inspired about meeting families right where they are in their living rooms or kitchen tables every day?
Well, you know, what's nice is you, cause I, you know, you do get to more individualized instruction for the kids. We try to differentiate instruction, obviously in the classroom, but it, on this online platform, I can say, okay, you know what? These three are my tier three kids and they are really struggling with this concept. I'm going to just pull them really quick. You know, I want you to meet with you guys and we're going to work on maybe whatever it is, maybe, you know, patterning that they're not working on, extending patterns and stuff. And we're just going to keep practicing. So I can do that really quick. And in a classroom, you can pull them to like your, you know, your side table, but you have to have all the other kids like doing something. And at 4 years old, sometimes that's a lot of, you know, management, all that. So but in this virtual world, I can do it quickly and easily. And I can say, okay, you know what, I would like to do, I'm going to meet with you guys today and you guys today. So there's just that flexibility for me to really kind of just individualize that instruction and meet those kids where they're at. So I don't have to worry about, oh gosh, you know what, I can't, you know, this is, I've got to do this, this, and this. No, I can say, nope, I have, because I have these reteach sessions on my schedule and I'm going to work with these three today. And these three need to be, you know, work on this concept. So I love that part of it where I do have kids that are advanced. I have kids that come in reading. And so I need to like extend work for them. I need to get them kindergarten curriculum. And so with our curriculum is nice that we can, if they, our Embark curriculum is for our transitional kindergarten program, which is fantastic. The parents get 18 like kind of teacher's manuals that tells them exactly what to do. They get all these manipulatives. They get, you know, teddy bear counters, linking cubes. So many things that they get. They get picture books, dice, shapes, all this stuff. And the manipulatives you might have in the classroom. So the parents get them. And then I have them obviously bring them to class. So we work with the manipulatives all the time. But say they're at that kindergarten level, like I said, and I've like assessed them. I can assess them, make sure that they've met all the transitional kindergarten standards. And I say, yeah, they're ready for kindergarten curriculum. So then I just order the kindergarten curriculum for them. And now they're able to do kindergarten curriculum work, but yet still be with their grade level peers. You know, they're still working on their socialization, their emotional learning, their language skills, all these different things that they still are, because they're emotionally still four. They're not really ready to go to kindergarten or even first grade. I've had some really smart kids that are ready for first grade curriculum. So they've gotten that. But again, they're still working on impulse control and raising their hand and all those little things. So I do think that we can really individualize things a little bit better in this environment. And I like that flexibility for myself too. Mm-hmm.
Denise, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'd love to dive in to some strategies that maybe you have gleaned in your years as an educator, thinking about your role, both as a virtual teacher, but also as a brick and mortar teacher around connection, communication, and community. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Welcome back, everyone. You're with Brad Hughes and Denise Giroux, educator in California, and you're in the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up space, streaming exclusively and live every Sunday evening starting at 8 Eastern here in the Teach Better private Facebook group. And if you miss us live, don't worry. You can catch us tomorrow, Monday, I'm going to back up, Denise. Take two steps back. Our recording is going to be shared out to all of our socials, and it's also going to magically become part of our YouTube channel, as well as an episode of Teach Better Talk podcast. Denise Giroux is a virtual educator in a transitional kindergarten classroom and program in California. And we've been talking, Denise, about what has kept you joyful, enlightened in this virtual learning space after a transition from a brick and mortar space. And what I'd love to dive into as we talk about some Sunday strategies is, I think what you're talking about exemplifies your commitment to communication, to building community, and to really helping parents, kids, and educators work together to create a thriving community. I wonder if you reflect on your learning, or if you had some takeaways, whether you're speaking to educators in a virtual space or in a brick and mortar space, what would you say you are learning, or what would you challenge our community to be thinking about in terms of building those connections with kids and families?
Well, you know, that's the key right there, is that connection with the families and the kids. But, and that you have, I guess when you, for me, having the connection with the families and the commitment that they are invested in their child's education, that's what I love about the virtual environment or the school, because these families are so invested in their child's education. They want to partner with us. You know, I feel like we're part of this triangle, and we're just like, every piece is important. The kids, the parents, us, we have to come together as a community. So I really, we stress like community, working together, connecting. That's all kind of TK is, the social emotional learning. You know, we talk about our feelings. How does that make us feel? You know, how to identify different feelings. But at the end of the day, you have to have that community, that love, because that's my whole role, really, is having the kids love learning and love coming to school every day and having that joy. They bring me so much joy, too. If you've ever taught the littles, kindergarten, TK, they just come in so enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. Every single morning, 8:45, I might be like a little groggy, you know, but my little Violet is like, hello, good morning. And then you're just like, you know, it just warms your heart. You're like, hi, Violet, thank you so much for being so enthusiastic and spreading your joy. And then that just is contagious, and it spreads the joy to everybody. So I think that is really important, is to remember just like that, why we go into teaching is for the kids and just for that same joy, for them to love learning, just like, you know, because I learn from them too every day. And I make sure to tell them, you know, like, wow, you know, I learned something from you. Wow, that was really interesting. Because they like to show you that, oh, you know, I can help you too, Miss, you know. And so anyways, I think that's really important, that you make those connections with those families. We get to know each other and ask the kids about their families, and let them know that they matter. They are a part of our class. And that's what is nice about our program, is the families are a part of our class, literally. You know, sometimes the moms and dads are sitting right next to their child, and
yeah,
you know, and so they're there to help their kids and throughout the whole process. So I'm excited about that. I think I kind of lost track of the question.
That's perfectly okay. No, it makes me think of when we were necessarily shifting to online or virtual classrooms as a result of the pandemic. A lot of educators and schools really struggled, because the normal interactions that you'd have face to face in sort of a brick and mortar, a traditional classroom scenario, were moderated. I called it kind of a static between you and the screen and someone at a distance. And so I'm wondering if has there been a transition for you as an educator who's been more and more comfortable in this space, finding ways to, I guess, counter that or counter any barriers there might be to really building, I guess, loving and intimate connections, even though they're moderated by a screen.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing, you know, I think because technology has changed so much, we have FaceTime, we have these, you know, interactions. The kids are used to this. This is not for them. This is nothing that they don't think this is not normal. You know, they talk to people on the phone and they see them and they know, like, so it is weird that you would, because it is kind of a barrier, but since I've been doing this for so long, you know, yeah. I'm like, how does my teacher feel about me? And then they're like, I'm as special can be. Why? You know, because my teacher believes in me, give me a hug. And so we give each other hugs and they will describe their hug. Mrs. Giroux, I'm giving you, you know, a hug that's, you know, times infinity. Can you feel it? It's a squeezy one. And I'm like, yes. Oh, I can feel it. And so while we're not physically hugging each other, we really are. We're like giving a virtual hug, but I can see them hugging. They can see me. I'm saying, I love you. And they're like, I love you too. And so So there is kind of a, you know, obviously I can't touch them and if they're hurt, you know, but we can say, oh, what happened? Mm-hmm. And we can talk about it. They'll tell me when they fall off their scooter or their bike. And just like you are in the classroom, they'll tell you. So there is distance, but we kind of overcome that because I feel like in a way I'm talking to them and being with them almost more than if I was in a school setting. Just because, you know, they'll call me on the phone or they'll text me, you know, and I can send them text messages, you know, little memoji things. And, I think people are getting more used to this. I know my daughter, she's in college right now, and all the college kids are vying for asynchronous classes, actually. And so she's like, oh yeah, you know, I wanted to take this history government class. It's an asynchronous one, but I'm on the waiting list. So to get into, you know, in-person classes, she could get in, but the asynchronous ones are actually like sought after because the college kids do like that flexibility and they're starting to get used to it. So I think it is becoming more of the norm, especially like in the collegiate level. But I think even the district where I used to live up in Sacramento area, they offered and they always had offered like a hybrid 2 days in person, 3 days online. Our school used to offer that as well. We had a community center and they would offer like 1 day a week to meet in person. I do like those hybrid because there is, you know, something with that physical connection that's nice. But I think virtually, you know, you can still have those close relationships. I've had a lot of my colleagues, we've never met in person, but since we talk so much, we meet, we had teams once a week. I feel like I know them, you know, we text each other, we're friends, you know, we call each other. So I do feel like we can still make just as good of a connection as if we were in person.
You know, I really feel that too, because all my fellow Teach Better team members, I've been able to interact with them in person one time and one time only. We're always interacting online behind the scenes in our base camp system or here online, face-to-face podcasting. So I feel that I know them just like family, like close friends and family. And I can't imagine that it may be any different for you or colleagues or the community that you serve. You're doing all that you can to keep those connections strong. And where you identify a barrier or some of that static, then you take some steps to resolve it.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, I'm friends with families 8 years ago when that first started the program with me still, you know, and we're still friends. I still get text messages, you know, happy first day of school and all those fun things. So you do make these connections with the families. I feel like I'm even closer because, you know, you make the connections with the children, but not so much maybe the parents. But now I know the parents. I know, you know, like if they're maybe the parents are having health issues. I actually, you know they'll let me know exactly what's happening. So we have these closer connections. I still am very close with so many families just because I feel like they're just more comfortable. They see me every single day. So they really get to know, you know, me, my personality. They know my daughter. They know my dog.
You know, Denise, there are so many important ways that educators can contribute to the lives of kids and families. And it sounds to me like you found your niche in the TK program online. Do you think you'd contemplate making a switch back to a brick and mortar school? Or do you think this is something that you want to continue to grow into?
You know, I know I've thought about that a lot. And I don't think I really would go back. I don't. I really love this so much.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, kind of developed my program over years and years. And I'm just like I love it. I do miss, you know, sometimes in person getting those like in-person hugs from the little ones or just, you know, just seeing all the kids and socially maybe. But I don't know. I don't think I would. I enjoy this so much that, you know, I don't know. I don't miss the behavior issues. I don't have that as much, you know, in a virtual setting as what I've heard, like some of my old colleagues from brick and mortars, like tell me, you know, like, you know, behaviors are, you know, a little bit more challenging right now. That's what sure. I've heard. I haven't been in the classroom for, I think the last time I subbed, cause I took time off to be a stay-at-home mom, but then I went back and started subbing and then they offered me an in-person position there. And I just was like, I don't know if I'm ready. And then I got this position and it really supports my family and my lifestyle. So I don't think I would go back.
Well, and at a time when so much continues to be asked of each and every educator, you found a setting and you found a way to contribute and connect in a way that lights you up. I can tell how passionate and how excited you are about the opportunity to see your kids online every day. And you're making it happen in a way that works for you and your family as well.
It just works. Yeah. For everybody. And I do. I feel such a connection with the families that we do. Help every day because they're so invested in their children's education. They want that choice. They want to have, you know, some input into their child's, you know, day and what they're doing. And so I love it. I love that. Like, yeah, what we get to build, I get so much like closer to them than I ever did in the brick and mortar. But I did, you know, a lot of times I worked in lower socioeconomic, you know, where both families were working, or I have worked in migrant districts where the parents were in the field working. And so this is just a completely different kind of, I guess, population that I'm working with now.
Strong kids, connected families and communities. Denise, you've got it going on there. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with our Sunday Spark, a story to spark your enthusiasm and your joy in education. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, welcome back. You're with Brad Hughes from the Teach Better team and online educator Denise Giroux, early childhood educator in a virtual transitional kindergarten space in California. And we're getting set up for one of my favorite segments. That's the Sunday Spark. Denise, an opportunity for us to share a good news story, sometimes connected with the school, sometimes not, just something to spark education between you and colleagues or families or kids. Maybe it's a bell ringer or something you invite into your morning circle. This is a story about a school actually doing fundraising, or a fundraising with a twist, Denise, serving instead of selling. So this is a school in Ohio coming to us from Sunny Skies with a Z, sunnyskies.com. In a world often dominated by sales pitches and fundraising campaigns, an elementary school in Ohio is rewriting the script by spreading kindness instead of selling goods. This Dover Elementary has initiated a heartwarming fundraising campaign where acts of kindness take center stage. So as an alternative to cookie dough or gift wrap sales, students are encouraged to engage in planned and spontaneous acts of kindness, both within the school grounds and beyond, within the school community and at home and outside in the community as well. A fifth grader lets us know that they help around the school by doing random acts of kindness, like giving out morning greetings and cards sometimes, being kind to everybody in the school, and helping people whenever they need it. A staff member remarks that many of the kids just light up when people are calling out their kindness and noticing them for being kind. They feel that they're on the verge of significant change in their community as a result of calling kids to do acts of kindness. Denise, acts of kindness are something that are much needed in our world and our communities today. And I'm wondering if that brings up any spark for you about a recent conversation you may have had with a child or a family that you serve.
Oh, I love that story. I love that story. You know, kids love to make other people feel good and love to know that they've made someone feel important. They love to feel important. They love to make people feel important. And I love that story. I'm so glad that is coming more on the forethought of who that people will see the value in that. I know at my daughter's school, they did like a kindness, like a rock garden where they painted rocks and then they spread them around the school to cheer people up and then spread them around the neighborhoods. And I love that because then the kids feel like that kind of like ownership of like that they're making a difference and they can make a difference. You know, every day we have our daily affirmations in my class and we say, you know, I'm smart, you know, I'm kind, I can make a difference, I can change the world. And I think that like, just by making sure that they believe in themselves and they believe in others and they support others, that's the most valuable thing you can teach the kids, you know, is how to be good people. So I love that. Let me try to think of a story of, every day my kids are so kind to each other. Yes. And they encourage each other, they lift each other up. You know, sometimes if they're struggling, they'll say, "It's okay, Brayden, you can do it. I believe in you." And they'll use that language. And I think just even using that simple language and teaching the kids how important it is to lift each other up. But just lift up their days. We do a month of kindness in February. You know, obviously it's the month of love and kindness. So we talk about the different kindness acts and we have our little kindness bingo card and we mark off like, you know, I read a book to my friend or I, you know, help my mom put away the dishes or, and so they know the value of it. And I think that's so important every day to remind the kids how special they are and how important they are to, you know, and how kind that they can be to others. I'll think of another one. I'm sure. Do you have something, Brad?
That's perfect. And Denise, I can just tell that you're a significant adult in the lives of kids and families. And maybe our discussion tonight has sparked an interest in someone watching or listening to us, whether it's live or one of our replays. And they might want to reach out to you to find out more about your role or more about educating in a virtual space or life in California. What's the best way that someone might be able to reach out to and contact you, Denise?
Oh, gosh. You know what? I don't know the best way to reach out to me. I guess they went through, I have a YouTube channel, TK Virtual Teacher, and they could reach out. It's mostly for my families to get them prepared for school. And I give them tips and tricks for online homeschooling families. So I guess through maybe my YouTube channel, TK Virtual Teacher, would be the best way. But I do hope and I encourage families that if you are unhappy, maybe in your situation with your school, maybe it's not exactly what you want for your child to think about. There are other options out there. You know, there are others. There is a perfect place for you and your child. So don't give up. And teachers as well, too. If you're unhappy, maybe in your school, there's other options out there. You know, there's definitely, I found this option, which I love. California Virtual Academies is a fantastic place to work. If you're in California, they're hiring throughout the state. So there are so many options out there if anybody is struggling.
Denise, it's wonderful to take time to get to know you tonight. It's wonderful to hear about the significant contributions that you're making in your wonderful classroom space with your children and their families. It's been wonderful having you on the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up tonight. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. And remember, we're live every Sunday night at 8 Eastern here in the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up space, exclusively in our Teach Better private Facebook group. As I mentioned, this broadcast will be replayed tomorrow on all the socials. It will appear in our Teach Better YouTube channel, and it will appear as an episode of the Teach Better Talk podcast. Remember to tune in every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern for the Teach Better Today show, where Teach Better family members get together and get you ready for a wonderful day ahead, whatever your important role in education might be. Look forward to seeing you again soon. Thanks for joining us tonight, and have a wonderful week ahead.